Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. And off we go. 713-780-3776. Anything that you want to talk about, you're more than welcome to do that at John Granato at Lance Zierlein at Dell V2. And yet, another. Man, the offensive explosion has been pretty damn good. Going into Seattle, you hadn't been hitting all that good. It was off and on. Putting up an 8, an 8, and an 11 yesterday. Back in Odorizzi, who looked pretty good.
Fraudulent Mariners.
Until, I don't think you can downplay the trade and how it affected them. I really don't think you can downplay it. We saw the Astros in 17 just be pissed off at the trade deadline at when the Astros did nothing, and they went into a funk. And Seattle was so high, and for them to get a gut punch like they did with that trade. Now, that said, Toro homers again. That's all he does. That's all Toro does is homer.
Congrats to Seattle on their new acquisition. But Astros, you know, had a big lead that they blew before that trade was made. Then they lost 8-6. Astros are a better team than the Mariners.
Yeah.
Trade, no trade of one reliever is not going to – I mean, the Astros are better than the Mariners.
Yeah.
Period. No, yeah. It's not even close.
But you know baseball. I mean, the Mariners were hot. They were feeling great. Now, they win a lot of one-run games, so if it's going to be a wild game, they're probably going to lose.
Now you see why their run differential's not very good, because the Astros went in there and smacked them around with 8, 8, and 11.
Well, their run differential isn't very good because their lineup has one guy that's hitting 270, 1-258, 278, 217, 219, 201, 216, 185, 198. They're not very good at that thing we like to call hitting. So if they're going to give up a bunch of runs, they're probably going to lose. And apparently, you know, with a team that's, you know, 7 games over 500, to have a run differential minus 50 in the 50 neighborhood, it means they get blown out a lot. Their pitching just is pitiful at times, and that is simply the case. The Astros, they look good at the plate. Yordan was the only guy who didn't look good. Castro, I'm not counting Castro, but Castro. He comes Castro in every once a week. That's hard. It's not an easy job to just sit there and watch and then try to hit once a week. So, but everybody else looked really good.
Yeah, including Aledmys Díaz, who continues to hit the ball. A couple games in a row, he's smacking it around the field. He drove in runs a couple times yesterday, and he looks like he's glad to be out there playing baseball again.
Yeah, and he's doing some nice things in the field as well. So Aledmys Díaz being back, you know, for his 60 games this year is awesome.
It's going to be good, yeah.
It's great to have him back. And Odorizzi didn't look too bad, up until he hit the sixth inning and then gave up the 3 runs, but he had shut him out through 5 and did a nice job of that. Christian Javier came in and looked a little wild again. Otherwise, a really nice series. And now you get a little day off, and then you head to the best and play in the park with the best team in baseball, where you're going to catch it. The Astros are going to catch it in parks they never go to, right?
Yeah,
they're gonna get the trash cans.
Big chance what we should do: bring a trash can, or maybe even wear a shirt. Like, have our own outfit where we have things written on our shirt.
Yeah.
I'll bet you that's going to get them.
They're going to get 23 games over 500
with your homemade signs and your homemade shirts that have marker on your white shirt.
Yeah,
you did it.
You got them.
You did it.
You got us.
You got in our. You got in their heads. Way to go.
So,
way to go, little buddy.
And you're going to be facing there, Beth Gossman, which is pretty good. But you got Fromber on the mound. It'd be nice if Fromber was able to turn it back
throw
around.
Throw a strike.
And throw strikes. Fromber, Greinke, and Garcia against Gossman, Wood, and Webb. So that's going to be fun. And then you got two in Los Angeles. There's another one that'll be that you. I don't know what. Do you think the Dodgers are going to really welcome with open arms our Houston Astros? That'll be fun. It's going to be such a warm and welcoming place.
West Coast swing is going to be a. It's going to be an interesting set of games.
You take three out of these five, and you take three out of five, and you take
against
them right
these
now.
Teams.
You take them right now.
Yeah,
yeah, you take it right now. So taking two out of three against Seattle, a team that had been winning. I think they had won 9 of their last 10 series. So for them, or won or tied, if they had a 2-game series, won or tied 9 of their last 10. So going in there and beating them, beating the snot out of them the way that you did, and then taking Graveman away from them. I mean, you just did stuff on their kitchen table. That's what you did.
Oh man,
that's what you did. No.
Oh boy,
that's what you what?
That didn't seem like what you wanted to do.
Well,
though.
No, but you did stuff to people they like on their kitchen table. So that was a lot of fun.
As you mentioned, you've got so in the next five, you'll see all five of your frontline starters. I got a note from someone who has a connection with a friend of Justin Verlander's who said that he's coming along actually ahead of schedule from a recovery standpoint. The problem is that he doesn't believe he's going to be able to throw with the same throwing motion with his shoulder, and he would have to try to throw with a completely different throwing motion, and I just don't see that happening. I don't think a player at his age who's used to being throwing at a certain, I don't see him trying to change and alter everything to try to come back off of a Tommy John with a different throwing motion. I don't see that happening. So if that information is correct, I would, and it was always going to be kind of a long shot, but I would really make it a long shot for Verlander to come back if he's got a, after, 20 plus years of throwing a certain way to try to make an alteration. It's going to be tough. Now, with that said, Lance McCullers made some slight alterations with his throwing style.
And Verlander changed his style just a couple of years ago anyway.
Well, throwing motion, arm slots, and stuff. That's tough when you start doing that because you're asking somebody to do something they've never done. Those horses like Verlander, they do things a certain way. You're asking, depending on how drastic, now maybe it's not super drastic, but the more drastic it is, it's the less likely it is to come back for. It almost becomes the for what? For who? Why am I going to change this to try to, I don't have a lot of run-up time. I'm going to have to just try to, jump in here. And would it end up being something that wouldn't even help the team and wouldn't help him? So I don't know. I don't think the Astros are counting on getting Justin Verlander back anyway. I don't think they're going to approach this as, let's just see if Justin Verlander comes back. I think James Click is going to address his team as though there is no Justin Verlander. He does have a Pedro Baez coming back.
And he's got a Yimi Garcia, too, now.
Yeah.
So, and Yimi, he hasn't been great this year. He did have a really nice year last year, but he is Yimi Garcia. Is a guy that he's got a 3.47 right now. He's got 15 saves. He's pitched 36 innings. He's given up 31 hits. He's given up 5 homers, 13 walks to go along with his 35 strikeouts, which is pretty close to 3-1. It's close to a 3-1 ratio. 35 strikeouts in 36 innings. So. Yimi is going to be a nice addition. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Presley, still your closer, more than likely. But when you have to rest Presley, you've got both Yimi and you got Graveman.
Yimi is a guy with, he's got a longer track record, a better overall track record than Graveman. Graveman's been very good this year. Garcia has been more consistent. Graveman, right. This is a one-year kind of outlier for Graveman. He's never done this
before. Yeah, he had one bad year with the Dodgers back in 2018, did Yimi. He had a 5.64 earned run average in 25 games. He came back with a 3.61 over 64 games the next year. Obviously, 2020 was a rough year for everybody, but he actually pitched pretty darn well, and he had a 0.60 ERA in that 2020 season. He's back to 3.47, which is about his average. He's got a 3.41 earned run average in his career.
You know who he is. With Graveman, you don't really know who he is. You're just happy to ride out the streak this year if he can keep it.
Right. And you gave him a couple of days off. He didn't have to pitch against Seattle. He gets a day here. It's going to be interesting to see, especially when Baez comes back. The bullpen looks nice. I mean, do you have to go any? Does Bielak have to be there anymore?
No. I think Stanek
probably.
By the way,
stays
they're done. There's no Kimbrel. This is it.
Yeah,
I would say they're done. You had Yimi Garcia. You had
You stayed under the luxury tax as well.
You did, and dealing out Joe Smith helped you a little bit, I think. But you had Yimi Garcia. Dealing off Joe Smith makes me believe that the Garcia deal was already a done deal, too, I think. That was probably one they had already worked on and had as a contingency. You have Garcia, you have Baez, and you have Graveman. There's three, and Baez, obviously, is your own pitcher on a two-year deal, but who hasn't pitched this year. When Baez comes back, you now have three pitchers who, to go with Christian Javier, who's not going anywhere, to go with, obviously, Ryan Pressly. I mean, there's five guys right there. I just mentioned five guys.
It almost seems like it's a decent pen now.
Bielak shouldn't get any more action.
It'll be interesting to see if it's going to be Blake Taylor or it's going to be Brooks Braley, which lefty you depend on, or if both of them are still going to be there. Is Stanek still going to be part of the situation? When Urquidy comes back, again, you've got another guy coming into the bullpen, which will probably more than likely be Luis Garcia. How are you going to use him along with like what you said with Javier? It actually is a nice problem to have right now. We think a nice problem to have if everybody adjusts to their role, and it'll be interesting to see who is the closer because Yimi's got 15 saves already this year on a team that's bad, on a bad team. He's got 15 saves. So it'll be interesting to see. Dusty will be able to use Pressly a couple nights in a row, and then you got somebody that you can actually count on when Presley's resting one night. So he had to bolster the bullpen, and he did it. And he did it by staying under the luxury tax, which Jim Crane has to love. This guy's probably got now. Jim Click has probably just got a 30-year extension for staying under the luxury tax and actually bolstering the bullpen to a point where you think might be pretty good as opposed to the crap bullpen that it has been for most of this season. Can you imagine this team if it had a bullpen all year long that was actually pretty decent?
Well, you saw
they're 23 games over 500. What would they be if their bullpen wasn't crap?
I'll tell you what they would be. Their expected win percentage is three games higher than their win number. So I think they might be three games better. I think that's a pretty good indicator of what they're, I would say, you're always going to win some that you're not supposed to, lose some you're not supposed to. And they have had some comebacks over the last three innings. They've had some ninth inning comebacks, obviously, most notably against the Yankees. That shouldn't have been a win. But, I think it's very reasonable to give them a plus three. Very reasonable.
Yeah.
That didn't seem like a stretch at all. It's good to have. Look, it's good to be able to get away from the Yimi Garcia deal. Is potentially a bigger deal than Kendall Graveman, if you really want to know the truth, because he's a guy who has pitched in some higher leverage situations. This is not just a half year deal, something like that that's going on. I mean, you've got a history of him as a pitcher. He has been a closer. His whip he's got a 102 whip. Like he's pitching well this year. So I love that our guy James Click has finally, silenced the doubters on that side of the table who didn't believe in James Click. I always believed that he would put together a really good, if not anonymous, bullpen.
James Click, what? I mean, I have been the biggest supporter of James Click. I didn't like him taking a vacation for 4 months during the season, but I've been a huge, huge James Click guy.
You an Aledmus Diaz fan also?
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that now, that you're an Aledmus Diaz? The guy's hitting 400 in July?
I'm always a fan of him when he's actually around, you know, which is 2 months a year. It's great to have
Aledmus around. Do you hit 400 and have 1,000 OPS in July like Aledmus Diaz?
It's great to have him around, you know, for that month of the season, that month that he plays. It's great to have Aledmus. I'm always a big fan.
Hey, are you ready for, when we come back, are you ready for a new superstar in the city of Houston?
That's right. I am ready for it.
There's going to be a new potential superstar in the city of Houston. We'll tell you who that could be and when that's going to take place. And no, I'm not talking about Anthony Miller from the Houston Texans. There's a new superstar. I'm not talking about Yimi Garcia. I'm talking about our Houston Rockets have a new superstar coming in. We'll give you some of the latest.
Tonight.
As the NBA draft goes tonight, the number two pick, the highest draft pick they've had since Yao Ming. And we will get to that
tonight. And we so we got a new star coming to town. And then we've got, man, we've got trade deadline coming up. We had Texans camp starting up on Wednesday. We've got the
Camp NBA Casario, draft. You know, 6'10 keeps it. You know what we need to brand this as? Camp Casario. That is the lamest sounding thing I've ever. And then they all use this on social media. Guys, we're live from Camp Casario. I guess they're all team players and they do that corny stuff. But that is just the corniest. Camp Casario. Ooh, cool. What is it going to be? A camp where you bring in?
Nobody blinks.
Middling quarterbacks don't answer questions. Is that what that is?
Middling quarterbacks, middling linebackers, middling defensive linemen, middling defensive backs, middling wide receivers, but middling offensive linemen.
Does Camp Casario involve, you know, paying for things that you should be getting paid for? Like, hey, I know I gave you something, but I'm going to pay you to give it to you.
Well, we'll tell.
Is that part of Camp Casario too?
Well, it's part of the Texans' history. Ooh. It's what we do. We pay for players to leave. We do this all the time. We'll talk about that and more on the other side. Camp Middling. We'll talk Camp Middling on the other side.
They hope so.
Right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, though, I'm going to talk about Chastain Ford. There's nothing middling. It's superior. It's the superior Ford dealership in the city of Houston because, well, the numbers prove it. I mean, when you're talking about the commercial side, and they really had never, there's a lot of dealerships that advertise, and Chastain Ford had just never done it. They've been around for 84 years now in the car industry in the city of Houston, and they just never advertised. But you know what? They always were in business. You know how they were always in business? Because they did deals the right way. They have more, literally, they had more on the retail side, and more return business and referral business than they did new business because people always were coming back and they were referring friends because of the great experience that it was. And then on the commercial side, they're the number one dealer because commercial business, because everybody trusts them, first of all, to get them exactly what they want with that Ford vehicle and then customize it perfectly and then get them the price that they want and then service it as well. Now, you're looking for that Ford car or truck right now. You got it, a Chastain Ford. All you got to do is order it. And order it the way that you want it, exactly what you want. Customize it to you. You don't have to take the package that they've already made. You can order it as exactly how you want it right now at ChastainFord.com or get to the dealership at 610 Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, what's the most likely scenario tonight? Most likely scenario is the Pistons take Cunningham and the Rockets take Green.
That's the Vegas
odds. The favorite.
That's the Vegas
odds. I mean, by far the favorite.
Yeah.
What are the odds the Rockets, what is the percentage you got the Rockets trade up and get the Pistons' number one pick?
I think it's probably about 15% now. It keeps falling because unless they're able to move to do that, according to Chad Ford, to do that, they would have to move Eric Gordon, and they'd have to get a first-round pick. Specifically, he's always pointed to the Indiana Pacers because it will take your 23 and 24 or whatever. That's irrelevant to the. That's not enough.
Yeah.
So the Pacers want, I mean, to move back even one spot, it would probably take giving them two and giving them the Pacers pick at, what, 13, I think?
Will they take John Wall and Eric Gordon for the 13th pick?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think they're going to do you that favor.
What do you mean? What favor?
I
mean,
well, one guy would help you. John. You know, my sons are still continuing, at least one of them continues to think that John Wall is going to help somebody. John Wall may just was, you know, maybe he's just recovering from injury this year. He might really help the Lakers.
Oh, so, that would be wonderful for him to help the Lakers.
Listen, if the Lakers want to get older and hurt, more hurt, that's great. Mm-hmm. More expensive, that's fine.
The favorite is Cunningham and Green, 1-2, and the Rockets getting Green. The next favorite is the Rockets moving up. How about the next favorite is, you know what, the Pistons say, we like Green more, we're taking Green, and the Rockets get Cunningham.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. That would be great, but I think there's a better chance that they would maybe drop from 1 to 3 than just take. No.
Well, if they covet Green, though, they can't drop to 3.
No, they can't because the Rockets have done a good job, and maybe that's what the Rockets feel. Listen, Mobley not coming in to work out for the Rockets, working out for the Rockets, does not help the Rockets. If the Rockets are hoping to sell the concept of Jalen Green at 2, but they really love Mobley at 2 because they want to prevent a trade back scenario so that they can take Cade Cunningham if Detroit decides to take Jalen Green, then that's kind of gone away with Evan Mobley saying, yeah, I don't even want to work out for you. Like, oh, okay, well, and Jalen Suggs apparently doesn't want to work out for him. So that's why everyone thinks it's kind of locking in on Jalen Green.
And let's although face you it, could.
Jalen Green's going to be a
just
ticket
just because
seller.
It didn't work out doesn't mean that you can't pull up. No, a
you
shocker.
Could still take him, but here's my concern. In today's NBA, with today's athlete, do you really want to take a chance on a guy who could just say, I don't want to be there. I don't want to go there. So I'll just sit out. And could force his way out of there. Wouldn't you rather get a guy like Jalen Green?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And oh, by the way, I mean, I don't know. You know what? We weren't in their process. We didn't look at all the tape. We saw highlights of Jalen Green. I don't know if you saw him. I saw highlights. And he was
good. The consensus is he's what you see is what you get. He's an extraordinarily explosive player. He's the best pure scorer.
I'm hoping they really like, you know what? And there's so much smoke around them trying to get up and getting Cade Cunningham. We think we know that they like Cade Cunningham, and all of the talk and whether or not it's real or not, we don't know. It could be a lot of smoke. But that Jalen Green would be just fine. And oh, by the way, Jalen Green might be the best player in this draft. We don't know. Jalen Green just might be the best guy. They may have.
Oh no, I think
they
there
may
is a
have
chance.
Won the draft by not getting the number one overall pick.
I'll be honest with you. I don't really want to see Evan Mobley. I think Evan Mobley's too low burn, meaning he just doesn't play with a lot of energy, a lot of fire. I want to see a guy who has more fire, who has more alpha mentality in him, a guy who is aggressive and takes it to you. And you can watch two games and see that's not his demeanor. I get all the length and the ability to stretch out. Now, I don't think the Rockets consider. One thing I wouldn't worry about is the Mobley. The any worry about Mobley and another big and Christian. Christian, with the Rockets.
Christian Wood.
I want to say Javier? Yeah, Christian Wood. I don't think they would view that as any kind of replication of a big. I think they view them as completely different types of players. So I don't think that would prevent them from making Evan Mobley the pick. I do think the pick is between the three: Evan Mobley, Jalen Green, and Cade Cunningham. It has quieted down on the Rockets trying to move up to number one, but I think the reason is because they were not able to get something done in terms of moving Eric Gordon. If they do move Eric Gordon today, if you do hear that, then I think that means the Rockets are going to do one of two things. Either they're going to move up and get the first pick, or they will potentially use that pick and one of their other first-round picks to move up, you know, from 13 maybe to something like 10 to go after another player.
There's all kinds of rumors flying around right now.
Yeah, and this is a pretty deep draft. The Rockets have some draft, and from what NBA insiders are saying, this is a draft that's deep enough to find some talent that would make a team like the Rockets a better team at those picks in the 20s. Like, they can find some, they can find a player, they could for sure find a player who can make their roster and potentially become a guy who is a factor for the team in the future. So that's always good to know. I mean, the Rockets, we're just not used to seeing draft picks that pan out. Very rarely, mostly, Daryl would either trade them away or send them off to boarding school in Europe somewhere, or in Greece. And we didn't, you know, Clint Capella was the guy that he drafted, and they decided not to send away, and they developed him. He became a pretty good player. They did a good job with him, but that was just so rare. He just didn't value players like that once the team got to a certain level.
Yeah. 727 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. We said we'd get you. Is this Jim? Jim is having a good morning, I think. Jim usually has a good time in the morning. What's up, Jim?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Really enjoy your show. Y'all are a great team. I was kind of sad this morning that old Dusty from ZZ Top passed away. True Texas legend there. Then I also heard some bad news that there was some suicides as well. Ringling Brothers and a Barnum and Bailey. They all committed suicide because they realized the Texans had the biggest circus in the world.
Oh, man.
And that they just couldn't keep up anymore.
It's tough, yeah.
So
yeah.
Suicide.
I had not heard that joke. I've heard about the white line and the Dallas Cowboys and the end zone and the white chalk. And I've heard that one. But that's the first time, Jim, I hadn't heard the Ringling Brothers, the circus act with the Texans. That's pretty good, Jim. You snuck one in on us.
Well, it's and if you watch that junk yesterday, that's the who. I understand Caserio because he's a pure Belichick clone, and he never tells you anything. And then David Culley, I kind of feel bad for the guy because he's in an impossible situation. He's fighting off questions that he don't know how to answer, and apparently they're not coaching him up, or Jack Easterby's little puppet strings, he must have busted one or something, because they're not handling stuff well. And that's it, gentlemen. Have a great morning.
All right, Jim, we appreciate it. Thanks. Got off this, you know, suicide jokes this morning.
Jim knocking that down before 7:30.
Right. And you know what? Nothing's funnier than suicide, so that's good.
Yeah, but Jim is like, you know what? I got a circus joke. How can I tie this thing in there?
Yeah.
Sad day. Dusty Hill died from ZZ Top. Can I work a death and a circus thing together? Like, you know what?
Yep.
I'm going to marry the two together. Circus and death. I'm like, all right.
Nothing like it. Nothing like it. All right, so when we come back, we'll hear from Coach Culley. I like to call him Coach Culley, on Deshaun and whether or not he was a distraction, how much he participated, all that stuff going on next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, that's right. There was some Deshaun stuff.
There's also
some Cars Out There for Kids.
Well, Cars for Kids is an organization who has made it their business to link up with other groups to really help kids get a second chance. And in Houston, it's the Houston Can Academy. This is a group that gives younger people a second chance at a diploma, people who may have slipped out of their, the opportunity may have slipped out of their grasp. And how does carsforkids.org help? Well, as the name would imply, if you have a car, SUV, a truck, a motorcycle, RV, I don't think it matters to them whether it's working or not working, whether it's running or not. They can, even if you don't have the title readily available, they can search and do transfers. They make it so easy for you. They will come, they'll haul it away. You're going to get a tax credit for the vehicle that you do give them, and they're going to take that and turn that into resources that will benefit a kid looking for a second chance at a diploma. So this is a great opportunity for you to write off the car and not the kid. And you can do that through carsforkids.org. Remember, make sure they come out and haul off your vehicle, working or not working, and you get that tax write-off, and you get a write-off the car and not the kid with carsforkids.org.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
He was not here doing any of our off-season program at all. And when he came in, we basically decided that we wanted to, when he's ready to do what we feel like he needs to do from a standpoint of, this is a ramp-up period. And, you know, we don't want to get to the situation where we're having him do something that he's not ready to do right now. And we decided that the individual period was the periods that we could get him in where nothing happens and moving forward. And we'll make a decision on that.
So every question, I mean, it was amazing. Nick Caserio just dodged every question was about Deshaun. And finally, then they asked about conditioning. After like eight straight questions about Deshaun,
I'd say the number was I think the number was six straight questions, followed by another question about something else about conditioning, and then I think two more Deshaun questions right after that. I think it was eight of the first nine questions, I believe, so, were Deshaun related. And look, that usually doesn't happen in Houston. Everyone usually just backs down very quickly. And there were some national guys in. Ed Werder was asking questions. I think Steve Weiss may have been asking questions from NFL Network. But
you're off. It was nine straight questions right after the opening statement.
It was nine
straight.
So you were light on it.
Yeah, I was light. I was one light.
Then I think it was 11 of the first 12 questions then were Deshaun based.
Yeah, they had one, and then back to Deshaun. Yes, 10 of the first 11. And only that one,
and the answers
after
were all
nine straight questions.
And the answers were all
the same.
Nick eluding. He doesn't. You know, Bill O'Brien would have got mad. He would have started to get mad. You would have heard him raise his voice. Nick is a robot with not answering of questions. I'm sorry. Camp Caserio features the general manager who is robotic in his ability to not answer a question. I mean, he is a machine. He knows how to not answer a question, and he doesn't get rattled. If you ask him nine in a row, the temperament stays the same. You notice that? He didn't. If you heard it at all, I know you can read it, but if you heard it, his he never raised his voice. He never goes, look, guys, like we've already said this. We're not doing – Bill O'Brien would have goes, come on, guys. We're not going to talk about this. I've already told you this. Sean's here. We love him. He's a great guy. We're not talking about – we're talking about the guys – who are at the field right now, who are Houston Texans right now, and Deshaun, or, well, I mean, although Deshaun is there right now.
So here's the initial it's the initial answer for each of the nine questions. I'm not going to get into an individual discussion. Here's the second one. Again, we're going to do what we feel is best for the organization on a day-to-day basis. The next one, I'm not going to get into speculation about what's right. Next one, again, my responsibility is the players first. Next one. I'd say we've had conversation. I'm not going to get into the nature of those conversations. Next one. Again, I'm not going to comment about who's going to be out here. Next one. Everybody had a reporting date. We were notified. Next one. Our players and staff have done a great job focusing on what they can control. Next one. I'm not going to comment on what's been communicated. Again, the next one. Again, it's not about one person or one individual. You might as well have just hit the button again.
They tried to ask all the questions.
Yeah, which is very un-Houston. Like, you're right. At some point, you give up. At some point, you stop.
No, they kept at it, even though you knew that the answer was not going to be there, but at least you got the questions off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what frustrates me is, I get that one. What frustrates me is when you have a question like, you know, is this person going to participate in practice? Or be out there. Why not just say yes? He is. I mean, unless you didn't know, unless Nick Caserio truly didn't know.
He did. You know, just
I'm sorry. Unless Camp Caserio didn't know.
Well, but he's not going to answer questions about individuals. So I kind of get it. I mean, this is such a crap situation. Man, you want to talk about? Now we've had Aaron Rodgers. We'll hear some sound from Aaron yesterday. We've got all kinds of sound from him and how, you know, how he loves the organization and you know,
utmost, that's what you heard?
Utmost respect. Yeah, he loves the organization. He said that. He said it. And
Aaron Rodgers was like, excuse me, do you think I'm like all these other guys?
Yeah,
you can't treat me that way.
No, we'll hear that. He's like, he said, oh, you treat me like a regular player?
Excuse me?
That's what, huh? But, and so there's so much drama around him. But, yeah, and we had James drama, right? We had James drama in the preseason and into the first few games of the regular season and fat and everything and how he didn't even talk to his teammates and how he hated it and all. He wanted to be traded. There was so much drama. But this drama, this is like at a – I don't want to play here. It started with I don't want to play here. Now all of a sudden there's so much drama around lawsuits and criminal charges and – you know, and he, now he's a defensive back apparently on
the fourth team.
And yeah, he's a fourth team DB, which is, you know, I didn't see that coming. But it's just all drama. Will you be happy when the Deshaun stuff is over?
I will be. I will be. You know, he was not a distraction yesterday. They all said that when you watched it. I wasn't worried about him being a distraction.
He was professional, right?
But he's not a guy who wants to look bad. He's really not. I know he had his issues, but he's not going to do stuff that makes him look unprofessional. I don't think that's who he is as a person. And I'm never worried about, I don't think it will be a huge distraction. I really don't. Now, are people going to focus on it? Yeah, I do, but I don't think it's going to, I don't think it kept people from getting their reps in or anything like that. And, you know, when you look at, it was interesting. He took some reps, but it was individual reps. He didn't do anything in the team portion. He just did individual reps from what I read. So he's out there trying to work on the individual stuff is going to be getting him ready for football. And I think maybe one of the selling points of the Texans by saying, you know, if he's going to be out there, then you'll listen. You know, the fact that people see him in a helmet, see him throwing passes, maybe the Texans and the Texans say we're willing to listen to offers. I don't think, at least I don't hope, that Nick Caserio would just give him away for 60 cents on a dollar. It would be a horrific move by a general manager who will immediately be planting seeds of doubt that he can do the job here if he does something like that. Because if you wait long enough, you're going to get very good value for Deshaun Watson. But if he, but this could be, okay, you're going to be in camp, then we're going to mention, you know, we know that there's going to be video of you throwing, and we're going to see if we can get some teams excited enough to make a move right now. Because if we can get good value for you and move you now, we'd love to do that.
So ESPN is, I got Booger here, and I got a couple other guys, and the caption is Deshaun Watson showing up a distraction? A distraction for what?
Well, Booger the other day said it would be the epitome, the very definition of distraction. He was very adamant about that, and I didn't think yesterday was like it was a bunch of fans who were there, media members taking video of him doing bag drills and, you know, stuff like that, dropping back, fake play action and throwing a pass to somebody. But he didn't do team portions. And he's not taking reps.
Well, wait a minute, a distraction for this team. I mean, it's like, so the distraction from preparing for the Super Bowl run?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Like, is that what he's a distraction?
A distraction is going to be, like, Xavier Howard is a distraction.
Yeah, he's because that's there, a decent football
but
team.
That's a team who's looking to ascend.
Right.
That's a really good football player. He's got his agent out there putting a notes app on, you know, sending him stuff that he copies on a notes app and posts. David Cantor, his agent, which that clearly came from David Cantor. I mean, that's a distraction. Dealing with that stuff right now with your best defensive player.
Aaron Rodgers, that was a distraction.
That was a distraction. Yeah. Deshaun is your best player, but this has been going on. Like, we've had this. This has been a known deal. It's just we don't know how it's going to end in terms of what the final. The ending's already happened. We already know that Deshaun is not a Houston Texan. That's how the movie ends. We just don't know what the script is going to look like.
This is a team that is above distraction. This is a team that didn't even need mini camps. This is a team that, and all the faux outrage of everyone because they didn't have mini camps, okay? But this is a team that is really, really, really not good. And it's going to be, you know, well, because of Deshaun and all this distraction, this team's only going to win three games because they're so distracted. But no, They're only going to win three games because they don't have any players that are any good. That's why they're going to lose. They're going to win three games. It's not because Deshaun showed up and played defensive back for them. That's not why. And apparently, a lot of people were upset.
But what about Simone
with
Biles?
Deshaun playing? Well,
what? Wait, what? They were upset with what?
With Deshaun playing defensive back or whatever?
You mean just sitting there as a skeleton?
Yeah. Like, oh my God.
Híjole, what is going on over there?
Along with this faux outrage about minicamp. I mean, come on. Stop already. All right, 713-780-3776. It's 743, and it's time for me.
Okay, you know what? So that may be, you may think that's faux outrage. There's real outrage going on east of us in New Orleans. We'll get to that in a second. There's some real outrage coming out of the Saints.
I can see why. Yeah. I can see why. But right now I'm talking about GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com. John Clay Wolf says, dude, you have got it. This car industry right now, it is stupid. It is stupid how much money that they're paying for used cars right now. Just dumb. And so you got to take advantage of that. If you don't, if you're trying to sell your car, do it now, because it is the most amazing time ever. I mean, you could probably buy a new car, drive it off the lot, and then sell it tomorrow, which usually you lose $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 as soon as you drive it off the lot. Now you can probably sell it for more the next day. That's how ridiculous it is with the used car industry. Now, it's changing, though. But after August, which comes September, new car industry is going to be back. I guess they found chips. They figure they're going to be mass producing cars again, and it's going to be, you know, business as usual. So now's the time to take advantage and sell that vehicle. He says do it before the end of August. So you got to go to GimmeTheVin.com and get the most for your car at GimmeTheVin.com.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Look, it appears we're going to have to spend some time without him. It's disappointing, and we'll work through it with the other players that are here. But the surgery took place, and obviously... we would have liked that to have happened earlier than later. And quite honestly, it should have.
Can you explain? I mean, was there a lack of communication in between? Nope. Or
nope. I'm going to leave it at that.
It's Sean Payton talking about Michael Thomas not getting his surgery earlier.
So he could have had it in February. He decided to have it in June.
It just seems
he's now screwed. The Chronicle. So. This is a longtime fan site called Canal Street Chronicle, which is a Saints fan site for SB Nation. And did Michael Thomas pull a Scottie Pippen? Pippen once purposely delayed his own ankle surgery as a way to stick it to the Bulls. Would Thomas try the same tactic and why? I think that's 100% what this is. Honestly, without knowing anything other than the timeline, the time frame, the frustration for Sean Payton, and you look at when they thought he was going to have the surgery, when he could have had the surgery, what the timetable for recovery is, he's going to have to start on the PUP list. At best, they get him on the PUP list with a chance to pull him off before the expiration date on the PUP list. This looks exactly like a Scottie Pippen situation that they revisited in The Last Dance, how Scottie Pippen intentionally was having a feud. Because, you know, Mike Thomas, there's talk about Mike Thomas not being happy with the Saints. And I'll bet you might. This has all the earmarks of the Scottie Pippen move, where you just say, you know what? How about I have the surgery later, and now I don't have to play some early season games? How do you do this, man? How do you do this to your teammates? How do you do this if you're a pro?
It just seems to me that Michael Thomas has not won. Michael Thomas we've seen some diva wide receivers. Michael Thomas has turned into a diva wide receiver.
You know, I told you he was in everybody's direct messages because he didn't like where they were slotting him in the draft. And he was all over DJ. I never got a message from him, but a lot of other people did, like Todd McShay, said that. I know he was all over Daniel Jeremiah because he didn't like the DJ had him as like the fourth best wide receiver or whatever the case was. And just this is, and he's got it. His goes beyond chip on the shoulder. He's beyond chip. Nice, incredibly talented, but he goes beyond chip on the shoulder to, into diva status.
Yeah.
There's no question. I think DeAndre Hopkins, if you really want to know the truth, I think he has some too, but they're very similar in the way that as football players, they're not the most talented athletes, but they are really competitive wide receivers who use that competitive nature to their advantage to be two of the best wide receivers in the game. But Mike Thomas is becoming a huge pain in the ass in New Orleans. And this move right here, Mike Triplett from ESPN wrote way back in January that Thomas would likely need not one but multiple surgeries. For all we know, the June surgery could have been Thomas' second or even third surgery to repair multiple torn ligaments in his ankle. After breaking an NFL record for most catches the season before, Thomas registered a pedestrian 40 catches with no touchdowns while hampered by lingering injury last season. 40 for zero.
Yeah.
And now he's going to start the season off this year injured and trying to recover.
Weren't there some games he just didn't show up and they didn't know and he just wasn't was a royal pain in the ass last year. And now he's got Jameis. Now he's got Taysom that going to be thrown, and it ain't Drew Brees no more.
Oh, he really isn't going to like it.
No, because he ain't going to be the number one. He thought
he'll be number one
guy. But, pay me. Oh, he's number one on the Saints. He's not going to be number one guy in the league. He was number one in the league after that year.
He says, what's harder to understand is seemingly delayed timing of this latest procedure, and I wasn't the only one. And I wasn't the only inquiring mind. While most fans wondered why Thomas waited until June to get a surgery that requires at least 4 months of recovery, T. Bob Hebert took the line of questioning a step further. And this is what T. Bob says. What I'm so confused about is why didn't Mike Thomas show up for that second evaluation? He's paid $20 million a year, and there's no way he thought he was fully healthy. Just can't understand not showing up.
T. Bob is doing a radio show over there?
Yeah, I think he's
a radio guy there.
No, he's a radio host, I think, in New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's it's not our problem, but it's an interesting note that a player looks like he's just kind of screwing his teammates by not really following the timeline that would have gotten him back on the field. And this isn't one of those things where he's got to be able to take care of himself first. No one's saying don't take care of himself first. He could have started taking care of himself in February. And it does not appear that there was ever a surgery in February when it was first expected. And his own head coach, obviously, as you heard, is not happy about it. Clearly, the team believes that he could have been back much earlier, and he chose not to.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. Yeah, congratulations, Saints. I think the Saints are going to be one of the most disappointing teams in the league this year.
I do, too. I like the defense, obviously, but... You're going to ask Kamara. Kamara is one of those guys that will always perform well for you if you ask him to do a little less. You know, if you don't ask him to carry a huge workload, I think that's when he's at his best. He's what Reggie Bush should have been. Everyone thought Reggie Bush would be. He's a better running back. I think he's a better receiver. Alvin Kamara, I don't think you want to put 25 touches on his plate every single game. I don't think that's when he's going to be best. So, it's going to be interesting to see how they hold up. They have a good offensive line. Kamara, we know, is very talented. They don't have Mike Thomas. I think wide receiver is a position that they do have, Emmanuel Sanders. So, but I just don't buy into Taysom and Jameis. I just don't buy into them as a combination where you say, okay, we'll pick one of these and we'll flourish. I just don't see it. I don't think Taysom Hill personally is a full-time good NFL quarterback. I think he'll flash. I think he has value in the NFL relative to what he does. I think Jameis is going to be a lifelong turnover guy. That's who he was in college. That's who he's been in the pros. I don't see how that's magically going to change.
Nope. So, we got that Saints news. We got, obviously, Yimi Garcia. We've got adding another arm from the Marlins for De La Cruz, who's hitting well, but he hasn't been one of the top prospects. So nice job by James Click. Staying under, not that we care about Jim Crane's money, but it also means that you don't lose your number two, your second round compensation in the draft, it doesn't move to a fourth round compensation. That's kind of a big deal. So staying under that luxury tax is kind of a big deal. If you lose Carlos Correa, then you are going to get better compensation because you're under the luxury tax. Also, Texas A&M, we hear from them. Texas A&M, the Board of Regents, says we want y'all to vote President M. Catherine Banks and Athletic Director Ross Bjork. We want you to vote in Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC. The Board of Regents met. They put out a statement. They said, although the board had concerns about the communication process relating to this matter, today the board received the information it needed to properly consider the long-term ramifications of a possible expansion. President Banks and Athletic Director Ross Bjork briefed board members after they participated in meetings yesterday. The board concluded that this expansion would enhance the long-term value of the SEC to student-athletes and all the institutions they represent. Nice. Therefore, we want M. Catherine Banks to vote in favor of extending formal invitations.
Yeah, I knew the Aggies wanted Texas. There was never a doubt. They probably led the charge.
They did lead.
Let's get our buddies in here. Well, get Texas in here. You think that's how that happened?
They didn't lead the charge because they weren't told about it.
Bjork didn't sound that way.
As soon as they heard about it, they were like, yes!
I will bet you, okay, good. Ignore what our athletic director just said. I'll bet you Ross Bjork thought, I wish I could take this one back. I wish this one wasn't on audio.
What? I wish I would have said, we've been knowing about that.
And we want to be the only team here. The very reason we left the conference so we didn't have to be in their shadow is the so-called little brother. Like, oh, don't say these things out loud. This is supposed to be just a hush-hush deal. Bjork said it out loud. It still exists. It made it into that video that's making its way around with Ryan. What's his name? I always get those two. Not Ryan Reynolds, but Bradley Cooper. Was that Flo? What was the movie called? The one with Louis C.K. and Louis C.K.'s A&M. You know, I've only seen it. I think 15 times it's been sent to me via text or Twitter. If you have not seen that yet, that means you don't have friends.
Is this the one where he takes the pills and gets really smart?
No.
That's not that movie.
It's not that one.
Which Louis movie is CK this one is A&M.
From? I don't think that's what that is.
What movie is that from? Dell, you've seen that one, right? Have you seen the...
Yeah, Unlimited, I think it's called.
Is that... Yeah.
Or Limitless.
Limitless?
That's what it's called.
Isn't that the movie that's from?
No, I don't think so. With Louis C.K.? I don't think that's what it's from. Isn't it from... let me see. Let me go through his...
I don't know. All I know is it... Is that Louis C.K. is Texas A&M. And Louis C.K. is, I don't know if Texas A&M wants to be Louis C.K. right now.
Well, they're just going to have to be what they're going to be right now.
I'm pretty sure they don't want
to
be.
Since when did the Aggies ever get what they want?
That's from American Hustle, I think. Is that not American Hustle? It might not be.
I don't know what it's from. All I know is that it didn't make Louis C.K. or Texas A&M look very good. Now, let me ask you a question, though. Texas always... How do you put it? Texas always big D's everybody in their conference and bullies has always been the decision maker.
But even when they're not good.
Yeah.
Even when they're not good, like we're going to the Pac-10, we got Longhorn Network. And the Aggies are like, okay, bye. Yeah. We'll go to the SEC. Which I was totally in favor of A&M making their move.
Well,
to be honest
and forever
with you.
Though, it's whatever happens in the league, we got to ask Texas. We got to get Texas
American
permission.
American Hustle was the movie, by the way.
It was the movie, yeah. American Hustle. We got to get Texas's permission. If Texas is on board, we got Texas makes the calls here. Texas decides who's in, who's out, what any kind of whatever it is that the league is going to do, Texas decides. Texas, guess what? You lose all that status in the SEC.
Well,
they don't give a rat's ass about what Texas
that's
thinks.
Over. You think that's over.
How long will Texas?
You ain't big D in Alabama,
well,
Texas.
Texas, I bet you Texas thinks they'll try. I bet you they'll.
And
they
guess
think
what they're
going to
get? That's what they're going
to
get.
Now you better be on board. Once you're in the SEC, this is family, and you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to step outside the family, Dale.
When have they ever operated
Vanderbilt
that way?
Vanderbilt's still,
in.
Yeah, I know, but South Carolina, you just shut up. You sit in the corner. You sit at the kids' table.
No, that's what I'm saying. Everyone's got a seat at the table. Like the SEC considers, there's a reason they all chant SEC. That's a cultural thing. That's a regional. It goes back beyond decades.
There are
it goes
still
back
tiers
centuries.
In the SEC as well.
No, I didn't say there's not tiers, but it's SEC. They consider themselves all SEC. And here's the thing: they are bound together by regional pride. And that's a big thing there. There's not professional sports there for the most part. It's a regional pride thing. South Carolina and Alabama and Mississippi, they all have, in Kentucky and Tennessee.
LSU, they
there's
own
a
the
regional
states.
Pride that yeah. Texas is not part of. Yep. They're never going to view Texas as part of their regional pride. They're never going to view Texas or Texas A&M as one of them because historically they're not part of the conference. I don't even know if they're going to view of Arkansas, even though Arkansas has been there longer and kind of fits the culture more. But I know A&M culturally, to me, they were all, hey, we're all on board with being SEC. Texas, it's going to be interesting because Texas feels like they're their own entity, like you said. A&M was like, hey, we're team. We're on board, SEC. We love to be part of this. They couldn't wait to be part of the SEC. I think a lot of Texas fans, just like my wife, they're going to be dragged along kicking and screaming where they've been trying to make fun or down-talk the SEC for years and years. I think this is bittersweet. I think they love the fact that they're going to piss off the Aggies or upset the Aggies. But I don't think a lot of if you gave Texas fans a chance to be in the SEC or Big Ten, I'll bet you they go Big Ten. I'll bet you a majority go Big Ten over SEC.
A&M got the rude awakening that they're not part of they're not really part of the club.
Right. This is a really stark reminder.
And
Dale.
Texas will still believe that they get to control things, and they're going to have to get their reminder too.
They're going to all of a sudden find out. Nope. You ain't swagging in the SEC.
But I don't think they're entering thinking they won't have any say.
Well, guess what? They're going to find out. Maybe they're not entering that way, but they'll find out in a hurry. 757 ESPN. 757. It's 8 o'clock on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. And it's time to talk about Lafayette. We were just talking about Louisiana. I lived in Lafayette. I love Lafayette. Lafayette was awesome to me. If I could have made any money there, I would have stayed in Lafayette forever, as a matter of fact. So the people cannot be nicer. They took me in. The Cajun culture is very open, very welcoming. You'll find that if you've gone to tailgates at the Raging Cajun tailgates, or if you go to LSU tailgates, you find that the people just can't be more inviting. And Lafayette is just awesome. It has always been that way. I really felt like I was part of the community. I had only been there for 3 years, and I loved it. I met my wife there, and you know, I don't know that you're going to meet your wife in Lafayette, but I'm going to tell you this. It can't be nicer people. So you want to go just 3 hours down the road, spend a weekend, eat great, listen to great music, see the different culture. It really is. It's a world in itself in Lafayette. It's different than anywhere else. So if you're and by the way, the food is better than anywhere else. And right now they got Eat Lafayette going on this summer. So take advantage of great discounts at restaurants and all the great music that's going on. LafayetteTravel.com. Get to Lafayette this summer. LafayetteTravel.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports.